for tonight. We'll begin there. Ecclesiastes 9:10, let God use your hands. Let God use your hands. My mother used to say to me, if I was around her a little too much and she's trying to get work done and I was killing time and whatever it might be, she would say to me, get out in the yard and do something. And then she would say, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Okay. So get out there and try to do something productive, you know. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work nor device, nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Then the first part of that again. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be able to do a work unto you. We pray that you would transform our minds, renew our minds tonight, even the most mundane things can give glory to your name. Our attitudes are very important as to what we are doing, and our actions, of course, are important too. And I just thank you for those little kindnesses that we share with one another because of the body of Christ and love for the Lord. These things are really nice. They add a grace upon grace. Welcoming one another and loving kindness is a gift from you, and we thank you for it. If we're struggling in our work, dear Lord, our occupation, or some things that we might have to do around the house or for someone else, may we see it as an opportunity to worship you so that you'll transform the character of our work. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, isn't this one that we need over and over again? Yes or no? Got to be reminded of this over and over and over again. I was taking a few items for someone that I said, if we have some room in the dumpster, I'll throw it in there. And that way, you know, we won't get an extra bill or something. But if the dumpster's full, I can't do it. Well, that was in the summer. And today I finally got this deflated pool out of this person's yard that, a lady and a couple little kids. It was stiff as a board. Must have had a little water left in it. So Josh had one in, I had the other. Interesting times, no doubt. I was working in the yard one time, and the kids had a little party, I guess, and they had these little taffy candies, and there was 100 wrappers in the yard. And I got there, and the lady said, oh, I thought you were coming tomorrow. You know, I got yard. I'm really growing this big business with like 2 yards. And it's, oh, I thought you were coming tomorrow. And I said, no, I just, I had a little extra time today. Finished something else, so I came over. And she said, where are all those paper wrappers? We just had a party over here yesterday. I said, I know you had one. And the kids are like 5, 6, 7, 8, and they all seemed to convene right on this corner. It's right around the corner from Gregory, where you work there, past the gas station down on the right. And that's the lot that I cut for a guy. So these things, you can have an attitude with regard to something if you want to. There's plenty of opportunity to have ill will all throughout the day if you want it. It's called other people. Did you know that? But other people are an opportunity for you to serve God. Now, Some people aren't going to want to listen to your idea of, I'm only going to talk to them so I can get an opportunity to give them the gospel. You're going to have to love people right where they're at. I mean, with no list of, I'm going to love you if, no, I'm going to love you, and as the Lord would open the door, then I'll give you the gospel. That's a little different than I'm going to give you the gospel and never talk to you again. So we've got to be developing relationships with unsaved people. So one of the things tonight I just want to ask you, do you have any unsaved friends? Do you have any unsaved friends who they know, they would believe they'd say of you, he or she is my friend? Well, then the opportunity is going to come one day for the gospel. On our papers tonight, then, whatever work God has placed before us, and he can change it at any time, have you noticed that? Whatever work he's placed before us, whether we esteem it worthy of our time or even maybe a waste of time, it can be redeemed. You like that word, I hope. It can be redeemed by doing that common task in a way that glorifies God. Our prayer life is very important in this. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Well, we need to see our work unto the Lord, and we need to be surrendered to him. Those lifting up holy hands is just an act of surrender. Literally speaking, there's no such thing as holy hands. You know that, right? This is a figure of speech known as a synthidoche. That's a funny word, isn't it? It means the part put for the whole. One part is just put out, symbolizing the whole. Holy hands stand for a holy person. It simply means that one is not knowingly practicing some evil toward his fellow man and is desiring to do good. So two sides of that coin. Not knowingly practicing evil to his fellow man and is desiring to do good. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, if you will. Ecclesiastes is where we were. Just go back one book to Proverbs chapter 6. Now, how many sins does the Lord hate? All of them. Yes, very good. But every now and then he'll list some to show us the character, why he hates sin, because how it works. So let's look at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. So the seventh one is really a pinnacle of the others. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Okay. So here, several body components are used to metaphorically stress certain evil actions. Mention is made of haughty eyes. What kind of eyes are those? Proud eyes. Better than others in your estimation. A lying tongue. Can't get much accomplished with that, right? Murderous hands. I almost immediately think of murder in the womb when I hear that one. God hates that kind of stuff. A wicked heart and mischievous feet. Okay. God is our creator, and he worked, then rested. Is there any sin in taking a rest? Nope. My wife said, my dream is to sleep 10 hours a day. This is after she gets about 7 or 8. And I said, my dream is to make it past 6.5 one night. Oh, boy. It catches up with you after a while, I will tell you. You get some real nice deep sleep for about an hour in the middle of the afternoon if need be. Don't always happen, but sometimes it does. If we want to glorify God in our work, then we know that prayer is an important part of that desire being granted. You know, James 4 says we have not what? Because we ask not. And if our motivations are right, I believe God would so desire to give us a number of things. Not just we can just consume it upon our lust, but really use it for God's glory. That's a blessing. Our hands as holy instruments. This is from Psalm 90 in a commentary, Mark Buchanan. Commentator writes this: a theology of work is as needed as it is scarce. In other words, it's not mentioned that much. Not God connected with our work. Very scarce. Few people I know, even pastors and missionaries, reflect theologically on their work. We seldom see how bricklaying or selling shoes, or studying spreadsheets, or even preparing a sermon is a form of what? Worship. It can be. It can be a form of worship. This is a sore loss when we don't view things this way, he means. And it contributes to high levels of burnout. This is also amongst ministers. Mediocrity, what's that mean? Oh, ho, hum. Eh, sirrah, sirrah. Now, you older people know what that is, don't you? Whatever will what? Will be. You're boring me to death. Yeah. That's terrible. That's low-level Calvinism, by the way. Whatever will be, will be. Don't pray about it and don't talk to me. Yikes. Hyper-Calvinism. Excuse me. Not sovereignty of God. But let us go on. Had a little fun there, right? Mediocrity. Don't you love to hire somebody like that? Dragging along like a snail, a sick snail. Somebody said, a sick snail. That's terrible. Drivenness. We might be more apt to... These are two eras, by the way, on the opposite side of something. Insubordination. I'm not taking any orders. I'm my own boss, my own king, even Jesus, not even from Jesus. That's terrible. Sloth. One guy said, you see that guy over there? And I said, yeah. He said, he works more at not working than anybody I know. Works more at not working than anybody I know. In fact, I think he's made a career out of it, what he said. I said, I don't know. Dissatisfaction, just a general dissatisfaction in our work. You know why? That can happen. We're not praying about what we're doing. And endless dreaming about what? Greener pastures. This is all his words. Anybody remember that illustration I gave you about greener pastures through the book of Ruth? They were up on the mountain, you know, and you could see about 40, 50 miles out, and there's Moab, right? And it's greener grasses. And then I gave you that illustration that the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. And you know why the grass might be greener on the other side of the fence from your point of view. So you talk to a farmer, and what's the farmer say? Yes, I have a wonderful piece of land here. It is greener than your pasture. Are you sure you want it? He said, well, I see the grass is greener on your side of the fence. He said, yeah, but that's where my septic runs off. Disgusting. Greener grass, be careful. All right. You know, when you get over, you got to cut the grass. You jump the fence, you still got to cut the grass. He goes on to say here about not worshiping God in our work, even the common things. The fallout of sin complicates all this. He means in the Garden of Eden, and then we've been born in sin. Now we earn our keep by the sweat of our brows. Now the soil we work, or words we craft, or computers we tinker with, or machines we repair, or children we raise, are riddled with thorns. The work of our hands raises blisters and gives headaches and backaches and puts dark circles under our eyes. But the work itself matters. Moses, after a lengthy prayer in Psalm 90, that both extols the eternal nature of God and bemoans the temporal and afflicted nature of man, ends with a hope and a plea. Verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. That'd be a nice prayer to pray before we went to work on something, wouldn't it? And then here's our application tonight. Is it established in your mind that God wants to use your hands for His glory every day of your life? Well, if we haven't thought that way, we need to think that way. And if we're just be renewed tonight in thinking that way, it will erase the mundane. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the second part of the verse. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. He took the grace and He ran with it. The assumed words are here, so I put them in brackets. Do not be slothful in business, but do be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 15:11. A passage that would teach about having a good testimony as a believer. Don't be slothful in business. Don't drag through it. But do be fervent in spirit. What spirit are we talking about there? Well, you hear it sometimes in the world from cheerleaders in basketball, you know, or football or baseball. Do they have cheerleaders in baseball? I don't even know. Huh? No, they don't. Just girlfriends. Girlfriend, but in other sports, they have cheerleaders, and I will never forget this. I've heard this so many times, but we can try to apply it to a Christian experience. We have spirit. Yes, we do. We have spirit, and then it's, how about you? It's true. So a little cheerleading tonight in the proper sense. Don't be slothful in business, but do be what? Fervent in spirit with this goal, serving the Lord. So next time you're doing something for someone else, you're actually serving the Lord. And that takes away mediocrity, drivenness, sloth, insubordination, dissatisfaction. It just melts all that away. Amen. Or old me. I'll leave it to you to decide.